Who do people say that I am? And so some of them say John the Baptist or one of the prophets. But who do you say that I am? Who am I? The disciples of our Lord tried to answer that question the best they could. And then, of course, we hear Peter's response. Peter says, "You are the Christ. You are the Messiah." And that's pretty amazing. It probably amazed our Lord himself when Peter blurted out the correct answer, because Peter doesn't always answer correctly. Maybe it surprised our Lord. But then Peter gets it wrong again. When he tries to rebuke Jesus, tries to take him to the side, and tries to deter him from the mission that Christ has to be the suffering Messiah. St. Peter thought there should surely be another way. Surely you don't have to go through all that suffering in order to do your mission. But our Lord corrects him very sharply, tells him that he's a Satan. "Get behind me, Satan." I wouldn't want to be called Satan by our Lord Jesus Christ. That's about as strong of a word as you can give to somebody. St. Mark, in the gospel, he records this whole incident. And he records it as a very important moment in our Lord's ministry to the disciples. Our Lord uses this occasion, as he does many times, to do some teaching. And this time it's about the value of the cross. He speaks it very clearly to his disciples. And he refers to himself as the Son of Man. That's a title from the book of Daniel, the Old Testament. A reference to the divine person who comes on the clouds at the end of the ages to judge the inhabitants of the earth. It's a way of our Lord saying, "I am that divine person." Our Lord makes it very clear that not only he must suffer greatly, but also us, his disciples. That's part of the plan, the divine plan of salvation. So the disciples will have to share in the mystery of the cross. Rejection, persecution. Some of them will be killed. 365 million Christians are suffering high levels of discrimination and persecution today. 365 million. And so, just as our Lord tells the disciples, it continues to this day, his prophecy being fulfilled. When we begin and end our prayers, how do we do it? We always make a sign of the cross as we begin and as we end. Before we hear the words of the gospel, we always trace a little cross on our foreheads, on our lips, and in our heart, asking God to help us to hear, to really understand, to know, to speak, and to hold in our hearts the message of the gospel. And of course, at the end of the Mass, the priest will bless us with the sign of the cross. Our churches have clearly displayed the crucifix. In a sense, we're reminded over and over again of the mystery of the cross, central to our faith. Our Lord says that if we want to be his disciples, which I think we all do, then we must take up our cross every day and follow him. So not just once in a while, but every day. I think this saying was very troublesome to St. Peter, our first pope, and most likely to all the disciples. They knew what the horror was of being nailed to a cross. They saw it. They encountered crucified people along the main thoroughfares. They knew those people suffered greatly to be nailed to a cross, fixed to a cross. Sometimes it would take days before they would finally die. So to be told that you have to be somebody who takes up your cross every day and follow me did not sit real well. It's no wonder our Lord is rebuked by St. Peter for thinking that he would have to undergo such torture. For St. Peter, it was actually scandalous to think that God's anointed one, the Messiah, would have to undergo such a treatment at the hands of pagans. So our Lord has to correct Peter and the other disciples, and he does so very forcefully. He wants his disciples to know without a shadow of doubt what was in store for them. And when you look at what happened to those 12 apostles, you see that all of them died martyrs' deaths by the sword, skinned alive, crucified. St. Peter was crucified upside down at St. Peter's, where St. Peter's Basilica is. As for Jesus, he knew the prophecies of our scriptures. We heard today the book of Isaiah. We heard how the prophet says, I gave my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who plucked my beard, my face I did not shield from buffets and spitting. It's good for us to meditate often on our Lord's passion, what he suffered for us. On Friday, we always commemorate the day that our Lord died. And as Catholics, we're required to do some penance every Friday because it reminds us of the fact that Christ died for our sins, that he suffered a cruel death. That penance could be to abstain from eating meat, just like we do during Lent. We could just continue that same penance, or we can substitute another penance, such as maybe making the Stations of the Cross, saying an extra rosary, doing an act of charity. This church is left open. It's pretty amazing that you can come in here anytime during the day, make a visit to our Lord, pray the Stations of the Cross, pray your rosary. Today is the feast of the triumph of the cross, and there's a relic we have of the true cross. So after the Mass is over today, I'll just invite you to come up and kneel down like you do for Holy Communion and come around to you, and if you would like to venerate the cross with a kiss or bow your head, then you'll be able to do so after Mass today. So our Lord, he gives us a strong teaching today that our sufferings can be offered up in union with his for the salvation of the world. So the cross is something to embrace, something to accept. On Good Friday, don't we all come up to kiss the cross, a sign of love, because it is through the cross that God gives us salvation.